Cooper comes up, hits it.
Yeah!
Oh, what a goal! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fleming!
Roglic.
There's the goal!
Richie!
Hello and welcome to the first official Scotland podcast. These shows are designed to give you a feel of things behind the scenes with the Scottish national team. In the camp with them here at the team hotel at the Dalmahoy, just outside Edinburgh, building up to the game against Canada in midweek. In terms of how these podcasts will go and the build-up to the games or the aftermath of the games, we'll have a different panel of guests to talk through what's coming up or what's just unfolded. It'll be journos, it'll be fan podcast broadcasters, it'll be players, ex-players, a whole mix of guys to give opinions, a bit of an informed debate around these games. In terms of our guests today, I'll introduce who we've got. We've got Danny Cause from the Talking Boars podcast, a big fan supporter of the Tartan Army of the Scotland national team. We've got Barry Anderson of the Edinburgh Evening News, and our special guest, last but not least, of course, Stephen Naismith of Norwich City, and of course, the Scottish national team. We'll get to the squad in just a second that's been picked for this doubleheader. The first game, of course, is Canada at Easter Road. In terms of these games, though, and being part of the setup, Stephen, what's it like? Give us a bit of an insight. We are behind the scenes. We are at the team hotel now. What's it like when you meet up with the team? What is the build-up, the structure leading up to the game like?
I think most times when you meet up, the March one's always a slightly different one because there's a bigger gap between. So it's a wee bit different. You get a bit more time to relax among the boys, and the last couple of squads, there's been a lot of new faces, which is difficult for them to settle in and be as comfortable as they can. But I think the majority of the group who have been together now for 4 or 5 years have make it very, very easy for them to settle in, and the squad in the whole is good for that. And the first night, you normally meet up on a night, dinner, relaxing night if they're catching up, and then kind of business stuff starts the next day with some training. This week we're through in Edinburgh at the new facility, which is fantastic for the boys, and it's the manager's one who expects us to be training most days at a good tempo. Obviously nowadays there's lots of different opinions on what's good, what's bad, and after a game, but the manager likes us to get straight into it, and I think that's best for the boys, and especially the new boys coming in.
Is there an adjustment? Because obviously you all have your own routines and ways of doing things at club level, then you all have to come together and kind of switch to the national team setup. Do you all have to change? Is there any kind of chopping and changing of things?
I think from before training, like your prehab or your what you do to get ready for training, everybody's individual, and they'll do that. We set a bit of time out before training to get to the facility, and then all the boys kind of do their own thing, and then when we come together as a group, every manager's different, every coach is different. So at your clubs, your managing are different. Your coach might do different passing drills, do different things to get going. So that's pretty straightforward to get used to. But like I said, the boys have been here long enough that you know what you're expecting to come to with the manager and Mark especially.
In terms of the squad, then, and let's look at that. It was a relatively big squad name for these two games. And then, what was your kind of view of it? Were there any names included that surprised you, excited you, or anyone who was omitted or you perhaps wished had been part of it?
I mean, before we started recording, we kind of remarked on the midfield, really kind of stands out how impressive the midfield is. Some of the players we've got in there are you know, very, very talented players, some of them the best in the league. Delighted to see Stuart Armstrong in, Tom Kearney as well. Ryan Fraser is one that's personally, whenever I see Bournemouth play, he's terrorising teams in the Premier League. Delighted he's in. As well, Oliver Burke, I'd love to see him kind of progress a wee bit more. I know he's been involved a few times before, but it'd be good to see him, particularly in this Canada game, get a strong run out and show what he can do.
You mentioned Ryan Fraser, the great game against Liverpool, great game against Arsenal as well. Is he someone who you think would excite the supporters, perhaps in a game like this at Easter Road, if they're sort of let off the leash?
You've nailed it. That's it. He's a player that's exactly what he does. Those two games in particular, I think against Arsenal, he scored and won a penalty and just ran them ragged. I know Arsenal aren't doing particularly well at the moment, but teams like that, that's the top end of the Premier League, I think. With all due respect to Bournemouth, he could be playing at a higher level, I think, for a bigger team. But he's just one of a number of impressive midfielders. And but I think you hit the nail on the head there. He's definitely one that can hopefully get people off their seats.
Barry, in terms of players not included, I'm going to paraphrase Phoenix Knights, but looking at you, I'm thinking of the name Jamie Walker. Is he one you think is knocking on that door? And you perhaps, because obviously through here in the East, you see a lot of him that you think is close to inclusion, perhaps?
I think he is close, definitely, yeah. I mean, 15 goals and 30 domestic games for Hearts this season, you can't really argue with that. I would take on board what Gordon Strachan says about the strength in midfield and attacking midfield area. It's probably the state of the Scotland squad, you'd probably argue. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone can complain too much that he's not there, but on a personal level, yeah, I would have liked to have seen him given this opportunity, particularly since it's a friendly, it's in Edinburgh anyway. It would be the perfect opportunity to give him a run out at international level and just give him that chance.
Do you think he's suffered maybe slightly because Hearts as a team have dipped a little bit recently and not had that kind of run of results?
Possibly, yeah. The Hearts results haven't certainly been very favourable of late, so that's maybe gone against him. I do think his time will come. It's possibly not the right moment right now, but I think in time he's going to be a Scotland player. It's going to happen for him, whether it's this year, potentially next year. If he continues to score goals and you're on a rate of one every two games, then you can't ignore him.
Yeah. Steve, we mentioned Tom Kearney though. You've obviously seen a lot of him in the Championship. He's been very impressive for Fulham. What do you make of him and his contribution this season? He's been one of the players that has kind of caught the eye.
He's a player who fits Fulham's style perfectly. Whether he's been playing in a wider area or in the middle, he's got that. Fulham are a team that want to play good football and work through the different zones, and he carries a threat from his strikes and his movement. And we trained yesterday and you can see that he's somebody who's not scared to get on the ball. He'll always offer up an option for the man on the ball to get it, even if he's under pressure, which again is what Scotland need, is players who are going to come in and compete, not just be around the squad to fill numbers. But going back to the Jamie Walker one, if you look at John McGinn, he's somebody who's been domestic and dropped down a division, but he still managed to keep himself in there. So the opportunities are there for the boys who are playing in Scotland, and if they're doing well, they'll definitely get their chance when it comes.
Yeah, opportunities for the guys playing in Scotland, opportunities for guys who catch the eye. Tom Kearney is one of them. Let's hear what he had to say when he addressed the media in the build-up to this doubleheader.
I think I've never had a season as good as this one that I've had. Obviously, I owe a lot to the manager and the staff for that as well. But yeah, I think I feel confident, and if the gaffer wants me to play, then I'll be ready. Managers over the last few seasons have played me right wing, but I've never felt as I can play there, but I never felt that was really my strongest position. I mean, I've been playing in the middle of a three, and I just think it's more natural to my game, and I think that was a big factor in my form this season. And I've enjoyed it a lot. I don't want to be just a flash in the pan, as they say. I mean, I want to be here for a number of years and hopefully a part of a squad for a number of years, as tough as that is. But I just, once I'm in, I'd like to stay in if I can. Midfield's very strong. I think it's been very strong for a number of years, Scotland. I mean, some talented players and some very experienced ones in Fletch and stuff. And it's a little bit surprising, but it's so hard. I don't know. Can't really comment. I've never played at this level before, so international football is the elite of the elite, so every game will be tough.
Okay, that was Fulham midfielder Tom Kearney there, speaking about his form this season and his inclusion in the squad. Danny, encouraging to hear him say, look, I want to be here and be part of this long term. He's not just here kind of for the experience, he wants to make an impact.
Absolutely, and as obviously Stephen said a bit earlier on, he looks like the type of player that is here to actually stake a claim to play, you know, to actually go into the team. He's not going to just be a squad member, you know, just here to take part in training. He looks like a serious contender to be in Gordon's, certainly starting 11 for Canada and maybe Slovenia. And I think, again, before the show, we'd said that it feels like every time you check Fulham's score, it's Tom Kearney's on the score sheet, or he's set up a goal, and it's been a really impressive season for him.
Yeah, and playing well, a player in form selected, which is good, but a guy coming in, feeling good about himself, it's good to have that kind of guy included in the squad.
Yeah, I think he will become a mainstay in this squad. I think Gordon Strachan clearly rates him highly. He speaks very well of him. I think what he touched on there in his interview, the fact that he's been moved inside into the middle of midfield is a key thing for him, because he's definitely better there. If you watch him, his attributes are suited to playing in there. He controls the play. He's a very good passer of the ball. He can get forward as well, as you've seen with the goals that he's scored and the assists that he gets as well. I'm excited to see him in this Scotland team. I think the Canada game's a perfect opportunity. Throw him in there. Let's see what he can do.
He mentioned about the step up, Stephen, to international football. What is that like when you first step out and play in that environment?
I think the first few times, well, certainly for me, when I came into the full squad, just the tempo of everything is much quicker. The tempo of everything and mistakes get punished more. That's the two biggest things I noticed. That you come in and you think, geez, oh, you come off a train, you think, that's so hard to be involved in and be at the pace. But it's very quickly, you soon get up to that level and understand the way, more so what the manager's wanting and how he wants to play. If you're at a club team who is slow build up or a bit more direct, but our manager's wanting you to get on it, it's hard to just flick that switch. It's not going to just happen straight away, but the more you're here, the more it becomes second nature, and you do just fit into the system the way that most of the other boys have.
I always wonder with international football, when you speak to players after games or in between games, is it difficult to adapt to the fact that the games are few and far between? You know, club football, you have a bad result, you can put it right a week later or three days later, or if you win, you can build on that 3 days later. International football, you could have a great win and then you don't play with those guys again for 3 months or something.
Yeah, that is. And that's probably why when I said the manager likes you to get straight into training quicker in terms of when you played your game, the next couple of days, clubs have recovery days, whereas he wants you straight in. I think it's to give you as much time as possible on the training field, getting back into the swing of things. The manager has been good in previous meetups, especially the kind of June time, that having that bit longer makes a big difference. And it's more if the campaign's obviously not been perfect, so the gaps are hard when you've come off a bad result. You want to just fix that and you want to get back on track. And I think this week definitely is going to be one of those that we do want to get back on track in the campaign.
When you have one of those gaps and like a poor result, do you and the lads find yourself, you know, texting or WhatsApping each other between the games or after the games, are kind of like, I can't believe that happened, or I can't wait to get good? Is there, or do you just kind of put it to bed and walk away from it?
No, there's definitely a bit of time where you're talking, and more so with the boys at your club, and then you'll maybe come up against guys you've played with and you do start chatting about it. And again, the squad's pretty close, and with us being together that long, you do actually turn into mates that do talk between camps and between meetups, and everybody's striving for the one goal here, and they're not taking it lightly, thinking, no, it's just an R game, it's an R cap. It's the chances of getting to these tournaments, they're running out, but the chances of getting there are getting better with the more teams going to the Euros and things like that. And with the quality of our squad, it's definitely been the most competitive since I've been here. There's cycles where we have great right backs who are all competing and no left backs, and now it's like reversed. And you talk about Kearney come in, but Stuart Armstrong's a probably a similar player who likes getting forward, getting goals, who's been brilliant this season. So there's loads of competition, and that can only be good for us.
Yeah, that sort of imbalance to the squad, perhaps we call it, that is something that the Gordon Strachan touched upon in his media conference. Let's hear from the Scotland manager now.
Well, if you look at the strikers, we had five strikers, only one of them started. And it just didn't happen last week, it's happened before. But that's the way it is. If you go further down by pecking list, you'll find that that's the same with most of the players, you know. So that's where we are at the moment. But that's not a problem, we've dealt with that before. There's people in these areas, I was looking at this morning, ticking off names that really have every right to think they could be in the squad. But then you say to yourself, well, I've got Fletcher, Brown, Morrison, MacArthur playing at the highest level, Armstrong on fire, Kearney on fire, you know, Bannon playing well for his club. So I've got all these players in that area, and I think that's what happens, you know. So there's disappointed people probably in the squad who maybe not got a game, and there's also disappointed people who are not in the squad. But that's happened. We're stronger in some areas than we are in the others, that's for sure.
Okay, yeah, the thoughts of the Scotland boss Gordon Strachan, they're building up to this game, and talking about his squad specifically, I guess, yeah, that's the conundrum, isn't it, Danny? You know, for Gordon, he tries to find a system to make best use of the best players he's got, and he has kind of got an imbalance a little bit in some areas, and I guess that's one of the things he has to juggle with.
Absolutely. Again, Stephen touched on it there. It's almost a Scotsman in recent years. It's been quite frustrating. Go through, you know, at the minute, you know, there's no out and out right backs. We've got these three brilliant left backs and same three brilliant goalkeepers as well. You almost wish you could share it about the squad a little bit more. Again, I kind of sympathise with the manager a little bit, because, you know, you look at the squad and you maybe, we talked about Jamie Walker earlier, and there's players that you could throw about, but particularly in midfield, how do you get these players in? You know, it's really tough for the manager at the minute, and particularly when we're going into a game against Slovenia that you really have to win. You know, it's hard to pick a squad at this sort of point.
Yeah, and Barry, that's the kind of thing, whenever a result perhaps doesn't go the way we want it to, the debate always starts at who should start or what should change, and people talk about, you know, or they should do this or change system and stuff, but the system that Gordon has gone with is designed to try and get as many of those good sort of midfielders and attacking sort of midfield players into the squad, isn't it, I guess?
Very much so. He's tended to go, at home games, he's tended to play 4-2-3-1, and away from home it's been more kind of 4-4-1-1. As you say, there's opportunity there to get five midfield players in, recognising that that's the strongest area of the park. Tomorrow night, I think, you know, it's an opportunity. People like John McGinn, we mentioned Kearney there, give them an opportunity, let them see what they can do. Ryan Fraser, obviously, can come into that kind of area. You know, we have so much talent in that area of the park, and as Danny says, it's frustrating because you almost want to take somebody out there and just make him into a right back or something like that, if it's a centre back even. But yeah, I mean, credit to Gordon, he can't win in a sense because so many people are just going to say, oh, you should have done this. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to sit here and say, oh, you should have picked him, you should have picked Jamie Walker. Mm-hmm. But that's easy to say, but you know, he's gone with the squad that he thinks is best. And others will need to bide their time. It's a very difficult squad to get into now. At times in the past, it was difficult to get out of the Scotland squad than it was to get in. And now it's very difficult to get
in. Terms of that kind of overloading position, you kind of mentioned it there, Stephen. Do the players ever kind of sort of chat about that, or you know, think, well, if we had a guy in that position, or we had someone there, or how have we ended up with, like, mentioned
the chat's
three
probably
left-backs.
More on how the cycles work in terms of. Like, Steve Whittaker played left back for a number of years for Scotland because we didn't have a left back, and it's just total roles reversed. And if you could put your finger on it, it's crazy. It's just, but that's just football, and it is what it is. But the one thing that is for sure, if there's in these places that were slightly weaker, we've not got as many players in. If there is a young player coming through that deserves his chance, he will get it. And that's for any young player out there that's doing it. They've got to have their eyes on that. Because the manager has shown he will bring players in, and he has tried. There's been boys that have come in that maybe might not be ready yet, so they kind of back out, but it gives them a taste of what they can get to. And probably most of the guys nowadays who hit the headlines are forwards and guys like that, but at the moment that's where we're really strong.
On guys, if they're good enough, coming in and getting that chance, having an opportunity, is Kieran Tierney one who you've looked at from afar and think, well, that boy has got something?
Yeah. I think him, Robbo's another one. Robbo came up at the start to train for the 21s with us, and in their training sessions he gave 100%, and he stood out from the rest of the boys that were there. The manager next minute takes note, and before you know it, he's a regular, and he's now playing in the Premier League and doing fantastic. So that prime examples are guys like these who see the opportunity, they do well at club level first of all, and they come in and they show they deserve to be here. It's not as if they're overawed with coming into an A squad and thinking, oh, I'll just pass the ball and kind of be a support act, if you like. They come into training and they say, I'm here, I want to stay, and they show it in training first of all, and they get their chance.
In terms of the sort of squad overload, that kind of embarrassment of riches in midfield, I guess that kind of links us quite nicely to Scotty Arfield, who's now part of the Canada set up. Bro, you've seen plenty of him play here, both in his Falkirk days, his Scotland under 21 days. Was he one at the time you felt should have had an opportunity, perhaps?
Yeah, possibly. I think there's an argument for that. And he's certainly, you know, a talented player. You see the way he's been playing down in England and more than holding his own at a very, very high level. He stood out when he was up here as well. That's why he got the move in the first place. But again, you look at that midfield. How does he get in? Who would you leave out to put him in there? I couldn't. Personally, I like Scotty Arfield, but I wouldn't put him in ahead of probably anybody that's in there at the moment.
This is one of those examples that perhaps kind of it justifies a manager's decision with a bit of kind of distance and a bit of kind of perspective. At the time when he didn't get in clubs, why is he not getting? He's playing for Burnley, had that great game against Chelsea a couple of seasons ago. Everyone's saying he should be in, and Gordon kind of resisted. He eventually goes to Canada, but now with a bit of time, people are probably a little bit more forgiving of that decision.
Oh no, definitely. And I think a bit of cross promotion here. Scott Arfield was kind enough to come on our podcast last season, and obviously we asked him about Scotland, and I think he was definitely frustrated at not getting an opportunity, but he understood it. It's like Barry says. I think he looks at the kind of the talents we've got in there, the sort of embarrassment of riches almost that we've got in the middle of the park, and I think he would have loved a shot at Scotland, but where would he get in? Although personally, my opinion, I would have thought over the last 4 years, I think he's had two promotions and two spells in the Premier League. I'd have thought at some point he could have been in a squad, but it's football, isn't it? It's just the way it works out.
In terms of the Canadians, they come, I guess, a team that like Scotland would expect to beat on home soil. Is that how we look at it? Or are you looking at it now? Who do we expect to beat?
Dangerous game to play.
You would like to think so, yeah. Given their, if you look at the rank, the FIFA rankings, you would expect that Scotland can beat them, certainly at home. But they have a few capable players, you know, that play in Scotland. Fraser Aird, Marcus Haber, people like that are extremely effective players in this country and will know exactly how to play against a Scottish team. So you have to take that into account. I certainly think if Scotland were to put out their stronger side, then yes, we would deal with Canada at home. It's a friendly and there's a number of players that Gordon Strachan want to get a look at, so you have to factor that in as well.
Yeah, they don't come in with too good a form at the moment. If you run a defeat, the qualifying, they're out of the World Cup qualifiers. They got through the first round, beat Dominica. They went into a group with Mexico, El Salvador and Honduras. They ended up finishing third behind Mexico and Honduras. They missed out by a point, so they know a little bit about qualification frustration to get through that final kind of qualification stage. Stephen, how do the players view these games? You know, the games were, I guess, I don't know if you've got much to gain, but it could...
I think, to be honest, I think it is. It's one that the players do have to gain. Like you said, the managers kind of spoke about boys that won't be involved because the games they've been playing in. They'll have a look at the squad for the game on Sunday. So the new guys in the squad, if they're playing, they'll see it as an opportunity to say, I'm here to stay. Guys like myself, who's not played many games and recently for the national team, I've got to make sure the manager sees that I'm still worthy of being in the squad. And so I think guys who have got a chance of playing and who do play will see that as the opportunity. It goes back to the competition for places. It's if you're not performing, you ain't going to be in this squad eventually. So that's what it is for the players that are just coming in and maybe not had much game time under the manager recently. And again, for the players that have been playing, it's to say I should be in the team for Sunday. Obviously, we said earlier, some of the results in the campaign haven't been what we wanted. So I don't think anybody's sitting here saying I'm playing on Sunday. I'm in a team. I know I'm going to play because I've been good enough. So for us, that's what will be going through all the players' heads.
Danny, is that what you want to see from the players in this game on Wednesday night? Like guys out to prove that they should be involved. I spoke to John McGinn the other day, and he spoke with that kind of attitude of, "Well, I'm playing in this because I want to show the manager I can play at the weekend against Slovenia."
Pretty much. I mean, there's several players that have in the squad for the first time, and You'd hope they get a decent run out, if not a start, to show what they can do. Otherwise, there's no real point in being there. Like Stephen says, all you can do is give it your all and really prove that you're worthy of being there, that you're worthy of being in the squad. And then it's really down to the manager to pick you. If you can go home after a squad and you can, you know, be happy with what you've put in, then that's all you can do, really. And I think there's definitely the talent there to kind of show against Canada that they can be involved against Slovenia.
I think the one thing about the squad here is everybody wants to be here, and that's what then drives everybody to say, I need to be here, I need to do well to be here. It's not as if guys are here, I'm just going to Scotland, I don't care if I play, don't care if I'm involved, I just go away, it looks good that I'm in the national team. Everybody wants to be here. I had said before the Slovenia away game, Slovakia away game, when I didn't travel, I found that really hard. Now I've got 43 caps and I've been here involved for the last 10 years, but I still found that hard to say, I'm not even making the travelling, the 18 or the 23, whatever, stripped. I want to still be here, I need to prove. So nobody's can rest on the laurels, to be honest, and that's the thing that makes the players have that attitude of saying, I want to be here. That they know that the places aren't just up guaranteed here for them.
It's a difficult question to kind of ask, but whenever we come and cover any team, the mood that always comes out is the spirit's great and the camaraderie's great and stuff. How would you sum it up across your course in the national team? You mentioned 43 caps. Now you've been here for a good while, almost 10 years.
Yeah.
Getting old. Right. In terms of the kind of course through it, has it changed? Have there been situations where you felt guys haven't perhaps wanted to be here as much, and then it's been better or it's been worse, or is now a particularly good time?
Now this group are definitely more involved with each other, and it's more got a club feel to it than it has before. Now, guys, it's hard for asking guys to come away for 10 days in the summer when they've been away, when they've just finished a season, when they know, I've been in the last five squads and I'm not even a minute. So and then expected, and then some players might pull out an injury and they're like, well, I'm going to come this one, it's the end of the season, boys on the holiday, blah blah blah. So it's hard for players to accept just, I'll do that, whereas in the past boys are like, I'm not doing that, whereas now if they can see that this is probably the best chance we've got to get there, and they want to be involved in it and they want to do well for Scotland. So that's, again, like I said, driving them on to want to be in every squad.
I think that'll appeal a lot to a lot of the fans as well, what Stephen's saying there, that just, you know, fans have been frustrated recently with results, particularly in the last 12 months or so, but to hear that players are still desperate to come along and be an international player and pull on that Scotland shirt, that means a lot to people who will turn up tomorrow night to see the Canada game, and people who will turn up on Sunday to see the Slovenia game. They want players who, you know, living their dreams in a sense, that are on the pitch with that dark blue shirt on, and it's great to hear that that's what it means to them.
Yeah, it's such a big thing, isn't it, to know that the players are still buying into that, still want to be part of what's going on, even if perhaps the results haven't gone to plan or as we would have liked to date anyway.
Definitely, and I think for all of our failings, you can see in the results we've had in the group so far that it has hurt the players, it's hurt the players, it's hurt the manager when we haven't got the results we've wanted. The other thing that I would say, particularly about the Canada game, is that if you'd said a year ago that Tom Kearney and Stuart Armstrong would be the sort of exciting names, and you know, you wouldn't have believed it maybe. And I think there's those two, Ryan Fraser, Liam Cooper, and the squad, there's actually, you know, a few exciting names that fans would want to come and actually see, you know, they might not have seen in the flesh before, and that makes it intriguing as well, definitely.
In terms of your inclusion, Steve, you've spoken what it means to you to be kind of back part of things after a little kind of drop out of it. It is 43 caps now. I think the first was the Faroes away. I think I was actually there. Seems a long time ago, June or something, one summer. How would you kind of assess your time with Scotland and how you look back on it now and kind of what you want to do? Because obviously, I guess it's inevitable. You know, each day moves on, you run out of chances to kind of achieve those goals.
Yeah, you do. Probably one word, probably frustrating. And that's, my whole time, you've been in very good positions and not go over the line. Holland at home was one that sticks in my mind, that great game, we're doing well, and then they kill us off at the end of the game. Spain, the 3-2 game, they go in the lead twice and we get back into it and you think, brilliant, and then a long ball beats us. The best team, best footballing team in the world, but a long ball beats us, and that's just the frustration of it. Yes, there's been terrible games that the players haven't been good enough and the rest of it, but it's frustration, that's the biggest thing. And like you say, time is running out for a few boys in the squad in terms of getting to a tournament. And we're guys that have grown up and been fortunate to see like France 98 and things like that, so you know it's real to you because it's been there, whereas some of the younger boys haven't even seen Scotland at any tournament. So that's, you appreciate that. Oh, it'd be amazing to get there. You speak to the older boys that have been there, and it's hard to, knowing time's running out, you want to give it your all, and that's all we can do. For me, I've got to just keep working hard and hope the manager gives me a chance and I do well enough. But that's all I can ask for.
I think one of the things, you've been kind of almost like a selfless player. You've played in a few different positions. Perhaps has that at times been to the detriment of you in favour of the team? Would you rather have had a stick on, I play the, that's where I am best?
Nah, I've not. I've always been one that I'm happy to move about. It gives you more options to get in the team, and that is one of those things. But the competition for places is massive going forward, so as a player you've got to be realistic and understand that if you're not playing at your peak or you're just off it, then you're not going to be picked or somebody's going to try and take your place. So that's the way it is. I think it is a fine balance, especially in this Canada game, of finding out what some of the boys can do at this level and getting boys in the team that are experienced and will carry what the manager's been doing for the last 2 or 3 years. And is that like the guys touched on, finding out what Liam can do at the back and Tom can do coming in, and even Ryan Fraser coming in, without a doubt they will be able to do it, but the manager needs to know that he can rely on them, because there's no point of going into Sunday not had seen them and then you put them on and it's not what you thought. That's never going to happen. So it's that fine balance, but I'm sure the manager's got his ideas, and like you said, we might know the team beforehand.
In terms of the national team, you occasionally get things that become a trend or a popular topic, and whether it's, oh, we've got a weakness here, or we're missing someone here, or one of the things that's come up has been that kind of want of a goal scoring talisman, someone who would be that person who would get you the goal. I wouldn't say a Gareth Bale, but someone who was that regular scorer. As one of the forward players, did you find that a strange debate, or do you find that a strange debate, or do you understand it?
No, I understand it, but it's easier to talk about than find somebody that's going to be. I mean, you're talking about somebody who's arguably one of the top five in the world. Now, that kind of player, we just know a lot of that kind of player. We did back in the days, we had match winners out there, but we're less so now. We're a team who play as a team and we're most effective as a team. Now we might have some impact players that will come on, and we might have poachers that will get you goals but don't bring the other side of being a lone striker, and think that, so there's a debate out there for everybody. But it is getting the right players who click the best that make the difference. And when you're talking about Wales, are slightly different because they've got three guys who are probably above that, what maybe Scotland and Northern Ireland have, in Gareth Bale, Ramsey and Joe Allen, whereas we've got more guys who are players that are passers and movers, or good delivery in the box and guys like that. So we need to work with what we've got, but what we have got is good enough to get to these tournaments, and that's what we need to show. We have underperformed, and that's the bottom line.
Just one thing I would ask, we'll wrap up shortly, Stephen, but on that kind of goal scoring threat, on the desire for a goal scorer, I remember at the start of the camp, early in the campaign, Chris Martin played, and he seemed to be the kind of focal point for frustration. You've seen him obviously play in the Championship so consistently this year. He's like the highest goal scorer amongst the kind of forward players in the squad this season. Did you and the other boys find that frustrating on his behalf, that he kind of got singled out?
Yeah, it was. And that's, again, going back to Chris's attitude's been bang on. Right at the start, when he was in squads, not getting a minute, he turned up every week, every time we met up, and he was always hopeful that he was going to get his chance. So for them to get a bit of stick was pretty harsh, I think. He's got his attributes and he's got his positive sides, but he's got his other sides that aren't as good. But every player here's got that. And he's done, in the last 4 or 5 years, especially in the Championship, he's been one of the top strikers. I think if you ask most managers, they'd have him in his team. So it was frustrating, but I think the striker's been the hot topic probably for my whole time in Scotland. Who should be playing, who shouldn't, and who's the best option. And as if they know, strikers go hot and cold, so I don't think there's a specific he should play every week. That is not realistic to think that at all.
Danny, did you think that sometimes gets overblown, and perhaps, you know, like, you can understand, again, with a bit of perspective, why Gordon would perhaps have gone for someone like Chris up top, because he probably works or is better for other people perhaps around him than some other guy?
Absolutely. I think, to be honest, this is my pet hate, to be honest, with the Scotland national team, when fans get on players' back, particularly someone like Chris Martin, who, as Stephen says, has turned up when he's not playing and has put in the kind of hard yards, if you like. It's not like he's not scoring goals or he's not performing well. This is, as Stephen rightly says, one of the Championship's top scorers. I know he might not play like Ronaldinho, do you know what I mean? But he'll get himself in the end of crosses, he'll bring other people into play, and he's a decent player, do you know what I mean? And it kind of really upsets me when Scotland fans almost look for a scapegoat when we've not got the result. And look, this is what we've got. We have got a decent squad, and I think everyone just needs to get behind it, particularly behind players like Chris Martin.
Good. Well, to wrap things up then, just in terms of what you want to see then, in terms of approach, in terms of attitude for this game on Wednesday night against Canada, what do you want to see most of all from that match?
A win would be nice.
Does a win matter? Would you take seeing something different and just a really up-tempo performance over a win, or does a win become important?
No, you're quite right. I was going to say that if it's a really kind of exciting, exuberant, young, youthful performance, then I would accept a draw maybe if you could really see, creeks of light coming through. A win would be nice though. And just as long as some of the new players that have been brought into the squad, we've mentioned them, Cooper, Kearney, Armstrong, I want to see them get a fair chance and show what they can do.
Barry, for you, what are you hoping to see come the game at Easter Road against Canada?
I think similar to what Danny says, the more attacking side of it, everybody wants to see some exciting football, getting wingers down the flanks and balls into the box. I'd also like to see a clean sheet. We don't keep anywhere near enough clean sheets as a national team, in the centre-back area is obviously a concern. I'd love us just to keep Canada out.
Good note on which to end. And guys, all thanks for your time, and boys, thanks for your contributions. Okay, that's it for the first official Scotland podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. We hope that if you are going along to the game at East Road, you enjoy the match as well. If you want to go along, you're weighing it up in your mind. Tickets are available at Walk Up at Easter Road from 5:45 on Wednesday night. Get along, support the boys, send them into that game against Slovenia on Sunday on the back of some good support and hopefully a good win. Enjoy the match. Thanks for joining us.
Cooper comes up, hits it.
Yeah!
Oh, what a shot! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Fleming!
Dogleash.
There's the goal!